Broadcast. If you listened to our previous broadcast, you know that we had Peter Marshall, who is the son of the great Peter Marshall that was the chaplain of the United States Senate, about whom the movie and the book, A Man Called Peter, so wonderful. Now, this young Peter Marshall, who told us he's in his late 60s now, has as his ministry, he wrote a wonderful book. And what happened Sunday, June 29th, here in our prayer meeting? The Lord just took us over in our corporate prayer, and He said, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. There was a pause, and we waited to see what it was, and He said, it is an awakening to God. I tell you, folks, it shook us. He told us to prepare. He told us that our prayer meeting in the fall was going to be very important to an awakening in America. Right now, as I'm making this and making it ahead, I really am walking with trepidation to see that I myself am ready for that meeting that's coming. And the Lord said, get the people ready. America has to have an awakening. If you've been watching any of the presidential debates and you've watched the economic problems, the things that we have here, you know that man does not have the answers. But God does. The United States of America, I believe, was founded by God. Once I was reading the scripture in Acts chapter 17, where Paul was on Mars Hill in Greece, in Athens, and he saw the people, the Athenians, and they, I'll take it up from Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I was reading that one night, and God suddenly took me into the realm of revelation. He said, pay particular attention to how I told Paul to declare me to men who worshiped idols and gods, mythical gods, men who knew nothing about me. How did I have myself declared? And here is how. Verse 24, he's the God that made the world. He made it and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 26, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men, for all to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he hath determined their times before appointed, and the boundaries of their habitations. This is God's manifesto to the pagan Gentile world. He made the world. He made the land. He says who gets it. He says what the borders are. He says what the borders of Israel are. And folks, I believe that he determined the appointed times for the United States of America to be born. And he determined what would be its boundaries. God has a purpose for America. Now, folks, in the book of 2 Peter, we are told that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And Peter said, when you are considering Bible prophecy, always remember that 1,000 years equals a day, and a day equals 1,000 years. And I might share that with you sometime soon about the significance of what Peter said there and the 2 days when Jesus would be coming. But we also know in Psalm 90 that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. When Moses went up to the Mount of God for 40 days and 40 nights, and then for another period, he went up, not on the top of a mountain where he sat, but up into the heavenlies with God. There he was given the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. There he was given the 10 Commandments. But he was also given an oral,
He was given what is known as the oral tradition among the Jews. God told him things orally, which the Bible says he taught then to Joshua, then Joshua taught it to the next one. It's the oral tradition. And in that oral tradition, the Lord said to Moses that God gave to Adam a six-day work week. And that since Adam, since now I believe that Earth, and you can read my book, The Blood and the Glory, I believe that Earth is however long, it's as old as science needs, billions of years if it needs it. But man as we know him has been here approximately 6,000 years. And God told Adam, told Moses that Adam had a six-day work week to see what he could do with this earth, like God had a six-day work week in the creation since Adam. And that at the end of the 6 days, then we would go into the seventh day and the millennial kingdom. Now, Adam was supposed to see what he could do with earth, but he turned it over to Satan. Satan deceived him, and he turned over the authority on the earth to Satan. Now, 1,000 years is a day is as 1,000 years. When I was in school, we learned that little poem that helped us remember when Columbus sailed to America. And it was, in 1492, Columbus sailed, the ocean blue. So folks, in 1492, that is the last half of the 1492, the last half of the sixth day that Columbus came to America. Now, for all those other days, all those 5 days, there was no known United States of America. So just at the last, God reveals a nation. And that nation has a missionary purpose. Now, if you heard Peter Marshall, and I'm reading to you from his book, The Light and the Glory, which we're offering this week. This is from an obscure volume of Columbus' diary. And this is what he said. It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. The fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. I'm reading you from Christopher Columbus' diary. I am a most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy, and they have covered me completely. I have found the sweetest consolation since I made it my whole purpose to enjoy his marvelous presence. Oh, folks, when I teach on practicing the presence, I'm going to try to remember to quote this. For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied. I'm reading from Columbus, quoting his diary. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior if it is just and if the intention is purely for his holy service. When I read that, I thought about our Migdal project and how beyond me it is, the one in Israel. But I'm going to read you that again. It gave me courage. Listen, this is Columbus. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior if it is just and if the intention is purely for his holy service. The working out of all things has been assigned to each person by our Lord. But it all happens according to his sovereign will, even though he gives advice. He lacks nothing that it is in the power of men to give him. Oh, what a gracious Lord who desires that people should perform for him those things for which he holds himself responsible. Day and night, moment by moment, everyone should express their most devoted gratitude to him. That is from the diary of Christopher Columbus. I'm going to read you another excerpt from his journal. In Columbus' journal, he described an incident which took place on his fourth and final voyage. He had a half-waking dream in which he was sick with a fever and in the depths of despair. He had a half-waking dream in which he heard a stern voice strongly rebuke him for self-pity. The voice reminded him that the Almighty had singled him out of all the men in his age for the honor of bearing the light of Christ to a new world, had given him all that he had asked for, and was recording in heaven every event of his life. Now that's an excerpt from what is given in more detail in chapter 2 of this book, The Light and the Glory, which we're offering this week. Just call us and we'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-972-3447. But we see here that God has a plan for America, and that plan began even with Columbus' own sailing here. Columbus, and then the coming of the Pilgrims, and then the Puritans. They believed that they had a call that was a covenant with God. In David's David Manuel and Peter Marshall's book, which they co-authored, they explain and give many the town meetings. Our presidential debate was in a town meeting, but it wasn't really like the town meetings used to be. Those town meetings were the absolute place where democracy worked the very best. And the towns would meet. Here, I'll read you this from David's book. The early New England town meetings were the purest and most successful form that democracy has ever taken. American democracy owes its inception to the covenants of the first churches on her shores. They believed in the power of covenant. Covenant with God and covenant with one another. They honored and loved one another. In many of the early writings, we see where great things happened in answer to prayer. Long droughts were broken when they would gather in the town meetings and deliberately fast and humble themselves and turn back to God. They literally believed. Here, let me just give you this. Now I'm quoting again from the book. The immediate response to any disaster, human or natural, was, quote, where do we need to repent? Folks in America, I believe we need to repent. Our nation needs to repent before God. Reading again from the book, like the prophets of old, they would call the people to the town meetings and to the churches to repentance. And if there was a true and lasting change in their heart attitudes, God would forgive their sins and His grace would be returned. Now, we do see and know that God deals with each one of us individually, but there is a corporate dealing. The Bible says that even towns will be called up. Bethsaida, Chorazin, Capernaum. Jesus said, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. We see that these towns, these cities, these areas are going to be called up for a judgment, even in the great white throne judgment. So right now, there's judgment for the United States of America. We believe that God wants us to have another great awakening, and that our prayer meeting that we're having right here in Branson, Missouri, October 23rd through 27th, here at the Hilton Hotel, you can call us and get all the details. That hotel, I think, is full, but there are many others that are not full. Just call us. Find out how to get the book, The Light and the Glory. Find out about the meeting at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying to you, let's see. Shalom, shalom.